Thank you again, Cindy and Carl. And it is indeed a pleasure to be standing on the promises of God this morning.
Thank you.
And welcome again to Cache Creek Baptist Church. I'm glad you all are here. I'm glad you guys are all online and able to join us today. We'll be in Mark 7, 24 to 37 as we continue our study in Mark together. We are going to do a little traveling with Jesus today. We'll get to that in a moment. But first, do any of you guys like to take the long way around to get somewhere?
No.
No, mostly not, probably. Sometimes you like to take scenic routes if you're traveling. Maybe that's a nice thing to do. But for the most part, if you're going to the store, you want to get to the store. If you're going to the house, you want to get to the house. You're not taking a roundabout way to get there. Let me ask you this. If you were leaving this building and needed to go to Owensboro, would you go through Evansville to get there?
No.
No, probably not. You'd have to have a pretty good reason to swing through Evansville to get to Owensboro, wouldn't you? Maybe all the bridges in the area would have to be out. Something like that. Today we're going to see Jesus do this very thing. He's going to leave the Galilee area that we've been talking about so much over the past several weeks. He's going to leave it only to come back to it in a roundabout way, covering something like 120 miles on his journey. We'll also see that he always has a reason for the things that he does. And we'll look at it in two parts. Jesus could not hide anywhere, and Jesus does all things well. Mark 7, verses 24 through 37. Let's stand as we read God's word. Mark 7, verse 24. And from there he arose and went away to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And he entered a house and did not want anyone to know. Yet he could not be hidden. But immediately a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. And he said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." And he said to her, "For this statement, you may go your way, the demon has left your daughter." And she went home and found the child lying in bed and the demon gone. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee, in the region of the Decapolis. And they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment. And they begged him to lay his hand on him. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his fingers into his ears, and after spitting, touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to them, "Ephphatha," that is, "be open." And his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. And Jesus charged them to tell no one. But the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, "He has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day and this time we have together in your word. Father, lead and guide us now through these words. Have them touch our very hearts and change us for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. So just where are we? Last week we were shown that we cannot earn our salvation. We saw this through Jesus exposing the Pharisees as hypocrites as they were trying to earn their way to God. There is no checklist that gets you into heaven. There is only Jesus, and faith in him is the only way. Let's take a moment just to see where we are in this region. Last week, we were in the area of Gennesaret, which is along the Sea of Galilee. There have been very few times shown to us in the Bible of Jesus leaving Galilee. He was born in Bethlehem, and his parents flee with him to Egypt, and he was raised in Nazareth. And none of these places are in Galilee. Neither is Jerusalem. But most of the rest of his time is spent along the sea. Our next 2 weeks give us a brief look at one of his travels away from Galilee, and actually away from Israel or Jewish territory. He travels northwest to Tyre and Sidon, which set on the Mediterranean Sea, and then makes his way back to the Decapolis, which is south of Galilee, but also not Jewish. This route gives us a horseshoe-type path that we've discussed is 120 miles or so, and shows us that Jesus went out of his way to get to these areas we will look at today. Now, there are Jewish settlers in these areas, but this is not a Jewish people that he interacts with in our text today. Let's start with Tyre and Sidon. I think I have a map. Yeah, so Tyre and Sidon is northwest, top of the map. The Sea of Galilee is southeast, bottom of the map, and that's where we see the Decapolis as well. So quite a length of travel for Jesus. Jesus could not hide anywhere. Now, these areas would have been under Roman rule and would have been more Roman culture and less Jewish culture. Jesus shows up there, and our text tells us he shows up at a house to lay low but cannot be hidden. This could be due to the Jewish residents nearby that have heard of his ministry, and it could be because Jesus is the Son of God, and that's not something that you can easily hide from a person. I imagine he carries himself a bit differently than those in this Gentile Roman culture area that he finds himself in. Enter this woman in need of help. We're told it's a Syrophoenician woman, which simply means she is from this area. She falls at the feet of Jesus. Matthew actually calls her a Canaanite, which also means from this area and means she is definitely not a Jew or a follower of God. She needs help for her daughter, and she has heard that Jesus can provide this help. Then Jesus snaps his fingers and everything's better. Is that what happened? No, of course not. We know by now that what Jesus does is intentional, so let's see what he does here. Verse 27. He said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." Say what? Did Jesus just call her a dog? Let's look at the words used. There are really four important words in this statement. The first being children. This is a term used to describe the Jewish people. These were the chosen ones, the children of God. The second term is word used is first, meaning that the Jewish people were the first priority. He was actually teaching in Jewish synagogues. He was a Jewish man. We saw this a few weeks ago when he sent out his disciples and told them to stick to the Jewish areas and avoid the Gentile towns. So the Jews were first, but there's another important assumption made when you hear the word first. If you say first, there's something following. Amen. He did not say the only priority, but he said they were the first priority. Not only this, we know that one of Jesus' last commands was take the gospel to all nations. So he came for the Jewish people first, but did not only come for the Jews. This is good news. Amen. Why? Because we are not Jewish. We are the Gentiles in the Bible. We are the ones that the gospel was carried to. Praise God for this. We are this Syrophoenician woman. When Jesus died, he did not do so for the Jews alone. He died for every single person that would ever believe in his name, no matter where they come from. next word to see here is bread. We know Jesus is the bread of life. Mark has told us repeatedly that he is the Son of God and that he has come to seek and save the lost. And this bread here refers to this message of salvation that he brings. So the Son of God brings his good news of salvation first to the Jewish people and then to everyone else. Our last word to look at is this term, dog. This is the term that seems offensive to us, right? He just called her a dog. Well, it was common for Jewish people to call Gentiles dogs. When they said it, it was a term meaning street scavengers. So it was meant to be offensive. Jesus, however, does not use this term. His term for dog is one that carries the weight of a house pet or puppy. This is what the rest of this section reveals as well, as it says things like scraps under the table. So Jesus is not being offensive here, but he is providing a test for this woman. He says, "My people are the first to get the bread of life, and it would not be right for me to take this offer from my children and throw it to someone else. It is their time at the table." Now, the important part in this section is not whether or not Jesus calls her a dog. It isn't even seen that Jesus offers salvation to all people, though this is a great thing. The important part of this section is the woman's response. Verse 28. "But she answered him, 'Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs.'" She did not say, "How dare you call me a dog?" She did not say how unfair it was for the Jews to be first. She did not say she deserved Jesus' help. What she says is, "I understand that your people come first, but I know that there is bread left over. I know that just like the crumbs can satisfy a dog under the table, anything at all that comes from you will be enough." So the most important part of this passage is the fact that this woman, who is not a Jew and is not deemed worthy to even be at the table, has been deemed worthy by Jesus. Oh man, the Pharisees would have had fun with this one. A worthy Gentile. Why is she worthy? Because she has faith in the Son of God. At some point she's heard the stories, or has heard his teachings, or has seen people whose lives have been touched by Jesus, and she knows there is no other way. She sees this man and runs to him. She sees him and knows that her daughter will be okay. Her faith brought her to this man. And her faith was revealed to him when she would not leave. To be worthy, faith is all you need. Our question, before we move on, is, can the world see that Jesus deemed you worthy? Can they see this faith in you? Her life was touched by the lives of others, and undoubtedly her life will now touch others as well. Is this the faith we have? The kind of faith that can be seen. We don't know much about this woman, but I think I can tell you this much. There was no hiding her faith in the Son. Jesus cannot be hidden. His light shines through the darkest places, and if you have faith, he shines through you too. She did not have to be seen in a church for someone to know what she believed. How about you? Now we will travel with Jesus as he makes his way back to the Sea of Galilee, but still in the area of the Gentiles. Jesus does all things well. So So Jesus makes his way back to the Decapolis. We saw a map. The Decapolis is back at the sea. It's southeast. It's down at the bottom. And it's an area like Galilee. It's another region, but on the sea. He arrives and a man is brought to him that cannot hear and cannot speak well. This has been happening often during his ministry. But this encounter goes a bit differently. We're told that he takes them away from the crowds and puts his fingers in his ears and touches his tongue. Now we've seen Jesus use touch to heal people, and even healing people through touch that normally would not be touched, such as lepers. But here we get a specific experience on as he uses touch in a very specific way. Why does this healing go down in this way? Well, I think there are a couple of reasons. The first and most logical reason is that Jesus uses these physical signs as a form of sign language to help this man understand what is about to happen. We've seen Jesus instruct others during these miracles. He did it at the wine at the wedding. He had others pour the water and then draw out the wine. Here he instructs the deaf man. So he pulls him aside to minister to him privately, and then because he cannot hear him, he demonstrates what he is about to do. Can you imagine going from not being able to hear anything at all to hearing everything around you instantly? Jesus is preparing this man for this change. Secondly, the disciples are still with Jesus. We'll see next week that they are with him in this place and they're still having trouble with their faith. Jesus pulls this man to the side and gives him yet another physical demonstration of who he is to this man and to his friends and to these disciples. Not only this, but his disciples know their scripture. They know it because as Jews, they're raised to memorize it. And they know it because Jesus, the Son of God, is their teacher. Look with me in Isaiah 35, verse 1. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad, the desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. The glory of the Lord shall be seen in Lebanon. Guess what two towns you can still find in Lebanon today? Tyre and Sidon. Isaiah continues, strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Sounds familiar. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. With the recompense of God, he will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. Do you hear these words? Can you hear that what Jesus just did for these people being prophesied in Isaiah 35. He just brought the presence of God to Lebanon, and he just unstopped the ears of the deaf and brought joy to the mute. Not only this, but he repeatedly turns to his anxious disciples, doubting and having less and less faith, and he turns to them and says, fear not, over and over again. We've seen it every week. His disciples could hear it. They were shown yet again why they follow this man named Jesus. Why do we follow him? It is because, just like this Syrophoenician woman and this man who could not hear, had their lives transformed by an encounter with their Savior, all of us here today who believe have also had this encounter. The Son of God and Savior of the world has reached into your very soul and said, you are mine. This is why we believe in this man named Jesus Christ. And it is why we follow him. As we close today, we can see that we've been shown who Jesus really is yet again. He is the promised Messiah to come, and he is the Son of God who came to earth to seek and save the lost. We're shown here today that he went out of his way to meet the people where they were in their lives so they too could have the forgiveness and the mercy that only God can provide. He went out of his way for these people, and he has gone out of his way for you. He walked this earth to be an example for you. He went to the cross to die for you. He defeated death and took your sins upon him to make salvation possible for you. And all he asks is that in return, you believe. Do you? Let's close with our last two verses, verse 36. And Jesus charged them to tell no one, but the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, he has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. He has done all things well. Amen?
Amen.
Our final question as we leave this place is the same as before. Can others see your faith? Do others know what you believe? This is our question because this is what true faith leads to. We just read, but there is nothing that could keep these people quiet. They had encountered Jesus Christ and everyone was going to know about it. They were astonished and amazed, and it was not only because their friend could now hear and speak. They could now hear and speak, too. They had encountered God and now had ears to hear and could now share the good news with others. This is what happens when the Spirit of God enters your life. You now hear the good news like it was the very first time. And now nothing can stop you from spreading it to others. Nothing at all. Jesus says, believe in the Son, and you have the Father, and you have eternity in heaven. Jesus is this Son, and he has done all things well. We were once all unworthy. And now all who believe have been made worthy by the Son of God. Some of you listening today need to hear this. Listen up. You are important.
Amen.
You are important to your loved ones, and you are important to this world, and you are important to God.
Amen.
So important that God the Father sent God the Son to rescue us all. And he would have done it even if it was only you. The world around us needs this news, and they need it from you. Pray for our country. Pray for our community. Pray for our church. And pray that your faith in the Son can be seen by others today. Bring any other requests or concerns or needs at all as we sing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this time together, time to reflect on what you've done for us by sending the Son. To time to reflect on just how we can worship and glorify your name. And it is in this building singing songs to you, but it is also spreading your good news. And Father, we thank you for your words today. And we just ask that you help us to get out of the way and let your holy word lead and guide and direct our lives. Help us to share this good news that Jesus went so far out of his way to bring to us. Father, help us lean into this faith we say we have. This faith that is unstoppable. Help us use this faith to spread your news to us. In Jesus' name, I pray.